Draw won by Toronto. Morgan Riley circles the goal with it. Plays it ahead. Komarov, a little tip pass to Spring Kadri. In on the left wing. Going right to the net. He scores! Nazem Kadri!
There we go. One of the four goals by the Toronto Maple Leafs. That was the fourth and final one. Allowed them to breathe a sigh of relief. Gave them a 4-1 lead. Ultimately, it's a 4-2 victory over the Washington Capitals. So we welcome you to Leafs Nation postgame. Of course, Delek Todolushko, of course, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. And this is like the good old days about Saturday night being hockey night in Canada. A Washington Capital team that played last night, might have been a little bit tired after the 3-1 win, but still, Alexander Ovechkin is Alexander Ovechkin. So Maple Leaf fans leaving happy tonight. We'll hear from a number of the players involved in tonight's game. We'll hear from head coach Mike Babcock. We also welcome you, our Leafs Nation postgame listeners, to get in on the discussion. What you thought about the game, the team, the quarterway point. There's actually all kinds more talking points compared to this time last year. 870-590. Star 590 on your cell phone network. 1-888-666-0590. And Todd Olushko, as we do, like I call it, the walk to the subway right after the game. I thought, the first period, 1-0 lead, a dominant first period. The concern was that going to be not enough?
Well, you know, they ended up playing a solid 55 minutes. And it was one of those games, again, where all of a sudden they score. I guess it was about 10 minutes left. They get in the board, and they make it 3-1. And just like, man, this is good. This is reading the same way again, same script. But as we were sitting up there, we were talking, it's not a bad thing. This is exactly a little bit of the adversity that you want to see Toronto have to go through and put them in a situation again where, all right, we've been losing some games like this. Let's see if we can manage to pull out a win, shut it down. They get good goaltending from Anderson the last 5 or 6 minutes. And, it wasn't picture perfect how to close out a game, but they did it. And that's what you're going to take from this. At the end of the day, they get the W. Probably, they were 5 minutes away from playing a perfect game today. But these things happen. But that's, you can't complain about this. That's a good game for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They learned how to win when there was a little bit of adversity thrown at them. Hey, solid win by the Leafs tonight at 4-2.
Yeah, snap the three-game losing streak. I mean, two of them are by one goals. The third was an overtime loss or the shootout loss to the New Jersey Devils the other night. So they get back in the W column. And I think as well, they outshoot, I said 37-35, they outshoot Washington. And we'll talk about a number of the other players that played solid tonight. But I think you bring up a great one in Freddie Anderson. And again, 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. If you want to get in on the chat, Leafs Nation postgame. Freddie Anderson, of course, last year he got a shutout against the Washington Capitals at the end of the season. Anaheim went into Washington at the end, shut him out 2-0, and very quietly, that was what won them basically the Jennings Trophy, top team defensive record.
Yep.
And that was something Bruce Boudreau was quite proud. Well, he was quietly slipped in. People didn't realize it. And basically flip spots with the Washington Capitals. And that was Freddie Anderson's shutout. So tonight, as you mentioned, kind of a quiet in a lot of ways, but a big, big part of the W.
Well, he was a big part. And what would happen there tonight is, he didn't need to be there earlier in the beginning, in the first period, second period. But then when, there was some serious scoring chances in the last 10 minutes of the game, he was fighting through traffic. He was seeing pucks, wasn't giving any rebounds. And the goals that did get by him, he didn't have much of a chance on. But at the end of the day, he had to make the big saves, came up with them, and preserves a 4-2 victory for the Leafs.
870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network, 1-888-666-0590. Our good friend Leo in Waterloo joining us. Hey, Leo.
Hey, Mr. Todd, Mr. Gord. Just wanted to, give the 2 cents in here. It's always nice to win, and we obviously got one tonight, put a couple points on the board. But the important thing is to see, some kind of a gradual uplift in improvement, and it looks like Babs is the guy that does that, because he certainly did that with the Wings when he was there. And I think we're pretty lucky to have him. Aside from that, it looked like Anderson was playing one of his better games. He certainly robbed Carlson on that one chance. And the goals seem to be starting to get spread out. And Marner had a great game tonight. And he's one of the guys that I'm referring to as far as, you know, when you look at a graph like this, guy's a steady, upgoing thing. And there's only great things to come from this team. Win, lose, well, you can't say draw anymore, but win or lose, they are a definite team to be looking at now. And they're fun to watch. And you can only see for a long time, there are better things coming down the road. What do you think?
Yeah, no, certainly. I think that's the consensus, Todd, about pretty well everybody. That's not just the win tonight or in general. It's because they lost three in a row, but still people are buying into what they see.
Yeah, well, first of all, it's good to have Leo back. We missed him last game. We had a lot of people online, so we couldn't get him through. So good to have you back, Leo. But you know what? Today, I got to agree with him. I mean, you know, the one thing talking about the young guys, I mean, we pump guys up all the time, but Mitch Marner just, he continues to be a human highlight film out there all the time. And not only from his offensive abilities and his skill sets. I mean, tonight he had two assists. He could have had four or five assists tonight. He was setting up guys left and right. Bozak got robbed on one chance that Marner set him up. But he's doing other things. He's blocking shots. He's getting in almost to the point where I'm thinking Babcock and the rest of the coaching staff is like, man, just try to get out of the way a little bit. We don't need a broken foot or nothing. I love your enthusiasm of getting in front and showing the dedication of, you know, putting your body before anything else. But, man, you've got such a high skill set. We don't want to see you getting hurt. But he does everything right now. Body, everything, checking, scoring. He's a great guy. He's so much fun to watch.
Yeah, and certainly you saw the youth movement Leo talks about this afternoon. The Toronto Marlies defeat the Utica Comets 4-1. And Milan Mihalik, Colin Greeny, Brooks Lake. What is that, over $12 million in salary?
It's big.
In the Toronto Marty lineup. So is the commitment to youth they have here on the upper side. You'll want to miss Mike Babcock, so we'll take the break now. We'll come back. We'll hear from the Maple Leaf head coach. If you want to get in, join the conversation. 870-0590, star 590 on your cell phone network. 1-888-666-0590. A 4-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Washington Capitals. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Coming out of the corner in front, and Hyman is robbed by the right leg. Another shot, scores! Austin Matthews! Zach Hyman was absolutely robbed by the right leg of Braden Holtby, but someone was there to tidy things.
Saying goodbye to our guys, Joe Beninati, Craig Lachlan. They're the best, the Washington Capitals crew. Yeah, take care. Keep tweeting and everything. Everyone follows you on social media. Loves it. There they go. As the Washington Capitals, that's a trip they're really looking forward to head home from. We are the Toronto crew. We're on for a couple more hours there. You heard Austin Matthews putting the goal in as three goals in two games now. So the 13-game goal-scoring streak is a distant memory. Toronto Maple Leafs 4-2 winners over the Washington Capitals. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network. And you can just, you know, the sense of winning just wafting through the box here, as, you know, it's nice after three consecutive losses to get back on the winning track. And Austin Matthews, James Van Riemsdyk, Nazem Kadri all scored. And they're all the Maple Leaf leaders, three-way tie in goals. Matt Martin, who's got a ways to go to catch them, got his second of the season. That was a pretty goal, though. That was a fortuitous change by him. Mitch Marner happened to still be on the ice.
Well, it was anything but a stinker. I'll tell you what, he ended up going out there and got a beautiful pass from Marner, got between, I think it was Johansson's stick. You know, Kai called it the Bermuda Triangle between his foot and his stick. Gets in there, goes in all alone. And again, he really shows a goal scorer's touch on that goal. Goes kind of between his hip and his blocker side and gets a goal. And I mean, he stayed in stride the whole time and shot the puck. Great for Matt Martin. Whenever you get contribution from a fourth line guy who's not supposed to be doing that, but obviously he wants to be a part of it. He wants to get some goals from time to time. I mean, it's a bonus for the club and got him going tonight.
Yeah, and again, Mike Babcock should be talking anytime, so we'll go straight to him. And we want to then come back. We'll talk about all the goals, how they were scored tonight. And another thing, Matt Martin had one of those good kind of fights because he'd been looking to try to find something, you know, I say justify his role, but get comfortable in his role. But this was a perfect one tonight with Tom Wilson.
Well, he had to find a partner too. That's the thing. Not a lot of guys are
going
to fight.
Who was Wilson going after first?
Well, Wilson he took Matt Hunwick. He hit him pretty hard and gave him a couple extra shots. And then Matt Martin was coming out of the zone and he grabs him. And Tom Wilson was a willing combatant, as we know him here. We talk about him. What's the home rink that he's from?
Again? North Toronto Arena.
North Toronto Arena.
Eric has it home of Tom Wilson. If you just called
that.
There, you get that.
So.
Well, Eric Lindros is too, but he's not on the voicemail.
No.
Yeah.
So Matty gets a willing combatant in Tom Wilson, and they go back and forth pretty good. That was your 10-second, 20-second fight. That was a good minute and a bit, and they went back and forth. And, you know, two big boys going at it, and it's kind of nice to see. Everyone seemed to get on the edge of their seat. They enjoyed that fight. No one got hurt. We moved on. Matt Martin did his job, and the Leafs continued to play after that.
But you brought up an interesting point at the end. You said they played like 55 perfect minutes. When Washington turned it on, you saw that, okay, last year the Leafs were the 30th place team and Washington won the President's Trophy. Mm-hmm. And you saw there's a lot with 28 teams to climb over to get there. I mean, when they want to turn it on.
Well, that's the thing about, you know, we saw this for 40 minutes and we talked about it in the intermission. Let the guys sleep a little bit. They haven't woken up. And then all it took was that one goal at the 10-minute mark. All of a sudden, the Caps are like, okay, let's get going again, boys. We've kind of mailed it in for 2.5 periods to see if we can salvage this. And they put the pedal to the metal and they came at Toronto hard, which was a great task for the Leafs. They want to, you know, if you're going to win in this league, you've got to be able to weather storms like that. And they did that tonight.
Well, as we said, for the Maple Leafs, important home game before they go on that road trip to Western Canada, Calgary, Edmonton next week, in Vancouver as well. Then they come back for a whack of home games just before Christmas as well. Well, yeah, Vancouver, yeah, that's going to be interesting. That was when, who was it who said Matt Martin's a dead man? Yeah, one of their defensemen.
Eric Branson, in the hallway.
And it was all the dynamics that happened there. And then you had Ryan Miller and Freddie Anderson both being kicked out of the game. Let's go to Mike Babcock right now.
Yeah, he's a day-to-day upper body injury.
Something affecting on the trip legal?
I think so. I thought he was playing today. He skated this morning and so I don't think it's much.
Mike, what did you like about this performance tonight?
We won. Saturday night I get a day off tomorrow and so do they. We won, so that's good. What else do I like? I mean, they're obviously a real good team. I thought our penalty kill was outstanding. I would have liked not to have been in the box so much. But our penalty kill was outstanding. Our power play was good as well. You know, our third one wasn't very good, but our first, second, and third, or fourth were real good. And then I thought our guys were competitive. Andy was good in that. I thought Riley might have had his best. You know, he was really, really good. Him and Zaitsev were really good as a pair. And Naz's line playing against Ovechkin, and whether it be Kuznetsov or Backstrom, were really solid.
Beyond the penalties, did you think the guys played better with the lead?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. We just got to learn that we can't turn the puck over. You know, we turned the puck over there in the third, and we took a penalty on that shift. And so you just can't turn pucks over when you're trying to salt the game away. So it's a process, and you have to learn how to do it, and you got to get used to doing it. And once you get used to doing it, it's just automatic.
A couple of the guys said they thought maybe it's been their most complete performance of the season. Would you agree with them?
Well, I think what the quality of opponent makes you feel like that. And we've played some good games, obviously, but the quality of the opponent, I think, makes you feel more like that. Now, it's good for our guys. Like I said, we got a day off, and we're going on the road, and now we got to be capable of playing on the road. And you know, the guys that played real solid tonight at home, you got to be able to play on the road as well. So it's all part of the process.
How did you think Sashikov kind of the extra
minutes? I thought he was outstanding. Mean.
In the game, we felt you used your speed. You got them cased, and you got them in the
center. No, I thought we skated good early. Now they played last night too, and they played at 5, so they got in a decent time, but they still played. And so I thought jumping on them early and getting skating was good. The first couple of shifts, they won all the stick battles, and then once we got skating and moving, we were pretty good. So you guys have a good night.
Mike Babcock, Maple Leaf head coach. I'm working backwards. First of all, yeah, interesting one. It was back-to-back, but the Capitals started at 5 o'clock yesterday in Buffalo, so maybe not the arduous at home against Buffalo, so not the arduous trip that it normally would be because they get the later start there. The other one is, He starts off by talking about, Nylander. Just saying, he thought William Nylander was going to play tonight. So the initial prognostication there, day to day, and he seems, you know, that's saying something, because usually there's an element of mystery about things. Props to Morgan Riley, who he was very critical of, or pointed remarks about the last three games and needing to, you know, be a little more focused. And then Nikita Soshnikov's really been a fourth liner. He gets to move up with the Nylander injury. Peter Holland gets in the lineup, but Soshnikov, he said that's pretty glowing to come from Mike Babcock. Played about 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, and he got a chance to play with Nazem Kadri tonight too, right? So that
anything about the fourth line, but
yeah,
right, that line was flying.
Well,
yeah.
The thing about Soshnikov is this is a player that, you know, you can be able to maneuver. I mean, he's got the skill set. He can score some goals. We saw him tonight. He almost had a highlight goal. He dangled one guy, went between his legs, just missed it. Got the oohs and ahs out of the crowd tonight. But this is the type of guy that can play both ways. He can be that gritty, in your face type guy that Babcock was talking about being mean and all that. And then he can play that skilled game. So he's the type of guy that you can definitely insert in different areas. And tonight you saw him be able to play with Kadri and fit in just fine. And then, you know, maybe next game he's back down in the fourth line grinding out again. But that's the type of player you need to be you want to have in your lineup, because there's a lot of versatility. You can put him up with some top lines, put him back in the bottom lines. That's what you want in your lineup.
Again, 4-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Washington Capitals. One stat jumping out, though: the Capitals 61% in the faceoffs, which means the Leafs 39%. And, you know, you associate Tyler Bozak with being that guy that quite often they send out for faceoffs. He won 3, lost 13, so yeah. 19%. So, you know, basically, whether it was looking at the different centers that did a good job, you got.
Well, no one did a really good job when you're clipping along at 39%. No one's going to do a very good job.
Jay Beagle was almost 80% on the Washington side. Hey, we look the other one, but that's one of those stats in a perfect game or a perfect type game that jumps out.
And I know that it's very interesting. Real quick, I know we're going to get to Chris Johnson, but you know, and that's one of the things that Babcock always talks about. He goes, "We've got to be good in the draws, because that's you want to start with the puck." So obviously, he's not going to be happy with that tonight.
Gord Stellick, Todd Olushko, Leafs Nation postgame. Our man Chris Johnston from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. And you were just saying, like, a lot of little nuggets from Mike Babcock's press conference. And one was, you talked with us before the game about, you know, he was pretty blunt about Morgan Riley before, and he was pretty jubilant after the game about his play.
Yeah, he was, I guess he challenged him a little bit. And you know, I think he had good reason to feel good tonight. I mean, those guys had a tough assignment. They were matched mostly with, you know, wherever Ovechkin was. You know, Barry Trotz moved Ovi around a little bit throughout his lineup, but you know, those guys handled it pretty well. Him and Nikita Zaitsev, and you know, that's the kind of game they need from Morgan Riley. You know, they need him to I think take a step this year to get to where they want to be. And then, you know, he's getting more minutes than ever before. You know, if you remember at this time last year, Dion Phaneuf was still a Leaf, and you know, he was handling a lot more of the tough assignments. So. You know, it was a good bit of praise he earned from his coach, and I think it was well-earned.
Chris, probably not the way that the Leafs wanted to close out the game by giving a couple late goals, but nevertheless, you know, a team like Washington has got all sorts of offensive powers. They come on strong there in the last 5 minutes, and Toronto is able to, you know, weather the storm. Anderson played extremely well the last 5 minutes. Not great way to finish, but at least it's a way of showing the themselves that they're able to close out a game against a high-powered offense like Washington.
Yeah, certainly, you know, it wasn't perfect, but I mean, this just tends to be what happens when teams get leads in this league, especially by multiple goal leads as the Leafs did. You know, you usually see the opponent come on. I mean, that's one of the reasons why the people that ascribe to the advanced statistics look at what's called score effects, that, you know, when a game's tied, you know, that's the true measure or close in a game of you know, how the run of play went. And I think, you know, the Leafs can feel really good about their first period, you know, to hit the score again in the second and build the lead, get another one early in the third from Austin Matthews. I mean, you know, some of the shots came back because they took some penalties in the second half of the game and saw Washington go on the power play. But, you know, all in all, this is a game to feel good about. I mean, to me, they gave up some chances, you know, more than Mike Babcock would like, but it was quite a bit different than the way they handled that lead in New Jersey a few nights ago, where there were some real grade A chances you know, from right around the crease and you know, missed coverages and things like that. I think there was a little bit less than that tonight. I don't think that the Leafs sat back too much, but let's face it, they're playing their reigning President's Trophy winners, you know, a team that, you know, even though they haven't been as strong maybe as they were last year, is still a very good team. And you know, I think that you have to respect that Washington was going to put a push on there after falling behind a few goals.
Yeah, when we chatted just before the game when you were up here and just about the Toronto Marlies playing and Brooks Laich and Milan Mihalik and Greening all playing for the Marlies, how they went full on with the youth movement. And in Soshnikov's case then, if Nylander comes back on the like Babcock was really over the top in Soshnikov's praise. I'm wondering, where do you think or do you think there might be a spot in the top nine for him right now?
Yeah, it's a tough call for them. I mean, I think the most likely to be moved down if that happens is Zach Hyman among those players. But, you know, the coach is also quite complimentary of him. And, you know, I think Zach did an excellent job, actually, should be noted, on the penalty kill tonight in particular, kind of trying to take away any potential pass over to Ovechkin. And, you know, the Leafs were able to limit the quality of chances that number eight was able to get when they were a man down. But, you know, they have really almost too many forwards, in a sense. As, you know, there's still a few good forwards down with the Marlies. Brendan Leipzig, Kasperi Kapanen, you know, other guys that could fill in, you know, I think if the Leafs ever were to endure some injuries. And, you know, one of the good stories, I think, for Toronto this year is that they've been blessed with good health so far to start the season. So, you know, Soshnikov is a guy that Babcock really likes. He's mentioned a few times, actually, you know, while he's been playing on the fourth line, that, you know, he's the one player he'd like to find more minutes for. And, you know, in this case, with William Nylander being a late scratch, I mean, that gave him the opportunity to do that. And, you know, so I think long-term we're going to see him playing more up the lineup. But, you know, when William Nylander comes back, just with the skill he has, I you know, I don't see him being the one dropped down to more of a fourth-line role. And, you know, Connor Brown seems to be doing pretty well in the jobs that he's been given. You know, I just don't see a ton of room right now. And I think it's good to have some of that internal competition. And, you know, there's a chance, you know, if certainly in games where things aren't working the way they are, that the coach can maybe, you know, bump Soshnikov up to try to spark some offense, because, you know, I think he does bring, you know, kind of an underrated offensive element to a line.
What about Peter Holland tonight? He kind of draws a tough assignment. He comes in last minute. They kind of flipped him around. He had an opportunity a couple times on the power play. Seems like there was a little bit of rust, but, you know, I feel bad for Peter Holland. It's just, I don't know what the long-term future is for Peter Holland in this organization. He gets a chance to go in. They give him some ice time. I thought he played well, but the reality is I don't think he's going to be here much longer, is he?
It doesn't look that way. I mean, certainly he doesn't feel good about his situation after, you know, being taken out of the lineup, being, you know, enduring a long run of scratches here. I mean, clearly they're not in a rush to get rid of him. You know, they haven't put him on waivers, you know, which would have been a potential thing that could happen that I think Peter's mindful of. But, you know, he's in a tough spot. And, you know, I thought, given the role he was thrown into, he did pretty well tonight. He made a nice play to, you know, nearly score on that breakaway he had to, you know, held on and made a fake, just wasn't able to quite complete the move and drew a penalty there. And, you know, again, on kind of a limited minute sort of night, you know, playing with Ben Smith and Matt Martin, I thought that he did some good things. But you're right, he's in a very difficult situation, because if William Nylander is healthy enough to come back, as this team goes to Alberta next week, I mean, I would expect Peter Holland will be right back out of the lineup. And, you know, he's been caught in the numbers game a little bit here, and you know, doesn't appear that he has a long-term future here. But all that being said, you never know if injuries crop up and he gets more of a chance and makes good on it. I mean, these things can change over time as well.
You know, Chris, the numbers game, I was just thinking it through, chatting about it with someone the other day, and you know, big reason the Ottawa trade was made was to free up salary cap room. You move Phaneuf's contract in the short term. You know, the Mihalik came, Greening came, Jared Cowan came. I mean, just in different deals that way, and their contracts will be done the end of the season as well. So you're going to get some flexibility. And Stefan Robida, we know it's going to be the end. Any idea? I know it's from left field. Like Joffrey Leupel, is the plan that he gets better and is eligible to play and you buy him out? I mean, do you have any idea at all what gives as far as he goes?
I have no idea. I mean,
it's pretty incredible. It's pretty unusual. I mean, like the David Clarksons of the world, the Nathan Hortons of the world, you know, everybody knows what their situation is. This is, I mean, kind of a strange one.
It is, but, you know, I mean, I think we certainly have the idea he's done with the Toronto Maple Leafs. There's not any hope or discussion of him playing for the team again. you know, whether or not I don't see them buying him out, to be honest. I could be wrong here, but one of the benefits, if you will, is that he's only got one more year on his contract next year. So you're only looking at buying out the final year. That spreads the cap hit out over two seasons. Whereas, you know, next year being the last year, that they can use his space for long-term injury if they desire, which, you know, gives them a little bit more room above the cap. And I don't see a lot of benefit in buying him out.
No, so, but that must mean he's long-term hurt, though. We never get, like, clarity. You know, we know the other guys are long-term hurt. So, anyway, whatever. I mean, I guess maybe if he's content to be long-term hurt and that's the way it is, so be it.
Well, I don't have any reason to doubt that. You know, I don't think he's healthy. And I think that there's more to the story than we know. But, you know, I don't think he's just collecting his money and is able to play hockey and doesn't want to. I think there's, you know, that there's an issue there.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, you know, we're looking now. Toronto's heading out west. They got, like we said, Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver. A good time for them to be going out. You know, Edmonton's playing a little bit better. Calgary's still not completely found their game in Vancouver. It's Vancouver right now. What's a successful road trip for these guys coming back after those three games out there?
Well, I think that 4 points is you know, what they're going out with in mind. I mean, Edmonton looks like the toughest game, although we know the Canucks will be ready for them next Saturday after the way things went here at Air Canada Center when they played a couple weeks back. So, you know, the Leafs have high goals for themselves. I mean, there's a lot of talk about playoffs around this team, and I don't think it's just talk. I think it's, you know, very clearly been established as a goal. And, you know, they've dug a bit of a hole over 21 games, even though, you know, they should feel good about a win here tonight. But I feel that they've left some points on the table, perhaps more than you would expect. You know, every team's going to have some tough losses and some brain cramps, but I think the Leafs have had a little bit more than you would expect. And so they've got to make those points up. And you know, they're not playing the creme of the creme of the league when they go on that road trip. And they haven't had much success, as we know, on the road, guys. So I think it sets up as a big week for them. They're in a good position, though. They've had a lot of time off. I know they've played some back-to-backs here, but they've had a lot of sort of non-practice days. They're off again tomorrow. Practice on Monday and fly to Alberta. But, you know, the way the schedule sets up, they should be rested. And, you know, I think that you know, they're going to be feeling good after, you know, beating one of the league's top teams here tonight.
Just one last one about just the Garrett Sparks story. He's suspended indefinitely for inappropriate social media talk. Let's just, you know, say that for now. When they say suspended indefinitely, you know, what are you thinking? Because this is kind of new terrain. I have no idea how they look at this. And are you thinking that maybe another game, or he may be back next week, or any idea at all?
My sense of the situation is it won't be too long. You know, clearly they want to take it seriously, and that's why, you know, they suspended him quietly before anyone, I guess, publicly knew about it, certainly before the media knew about it. And you know, in Toronto, I think especially it's important to make that kind of statement and to remind the players about, you know, I guess the consequences of their actions. And, you know, it does sound like it's not going to be months or anything here, or even weeks. I think that you know, they haven't put an exact time frame on it, but, you know, my sense, again, asking around a bit, is that it's not going to be too long a suspension. You know, it did give rise to a good story today. Jeff Glass, who's been with the Marlies on a PTO, you know, people remember him if they remember the 2005 World Junior team, you know, thought to be Canada's best ever. He was the goaltender, and, you know, he spent the last 7 years playing in Russia in the KHL and is, you know, trying to make his way back in North America. And he got a start today as a result of that, and, you know, had a pretty good outing, only allowed one goal in a win over Utica. So the Marlies have some short-term replacement until he's ready to go. And, you know, as I say, I don't think it'll be too much longer before Garrett Sparks is back.
Chris, thanks as always. We'll talk to you when the team's out west, okay?
Okay, sounds good, guys.
Chris Johnson, our man from Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca. So Kerry Romo, another interesting name as well. And all kinds of interesting things today as far as the Toronto Maple Leafs go and the Toronto Marlies. Both teams win. We will come back, chat more about the game. It's a 4-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Washington Capitals. You're listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stelic, Todd Alusco, on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Tim, I'm giving Linda the corner office.
Wait, what? My office? Why?
She told me about the WestJet Plus fare.
The WestJet Plus fare?
Sold me on all that extra room to work. Linda, over to you.
Thank you, sir. No middle seating means on most flights, there's a lot more elbow and leg room, plus advanced boarding, plus food and drinks included, plus no charge flight changes.
And it doesn't cost an elbow and a leg.
You mean an arm and a leg?
Nope, definitely elbow, Linda.
Oh, it's elbow, Tim.
Of course it is. My mistake.
The WestJet Plus fare. That's just good business. Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at westjet.com/plusfare.
Don't miss out. Black Friday deals from 8 to 8.01. You should have got in line yesterday. Act now. Regret it forever.
Getting a Black Friday deal shouldn't be this tough. The only thing that should be tough about Black Friday is the Ford F-150. Until November 28th, get $8,000 in Black Friday cash on most new 2016 F-150 models. Plus, get $1,500 and no extra charge accessories when you purchase or lease. Undisputed value from the undisputed champ. Details at findyourford.ca.
As the owner of Mike's Bikes, you charge everything to your business travel rewards card.
Yeah, let the points roll.
But can you combine your business points with your personal points to cover the whole trip?
That would be off the chain.
Or will your card throw a wrench in that plan?
Breaking down the game in a fanatic, obsessive, bordering on unhealthy manner. This is Leafs Nation Postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Well, we welcome you back. It's a pretty deserted Air Canada Center. You always have the visiting team, fans and friends, or family and friends waiting in the corner. I know Tom Wilson, we mentioned the North Toronto kid. Who else would be from the Washington Capitals? Anyway, quite a few looking down the list here as far as it goes. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Why are you thinking of
Justin
name
Williams?
Justin Williams. Justin Williams.
No, I was just going to make a quick note today. You know, I it was on our network, so or on Sportsnet. I was going to talk about the Vanier Cup real quick today that you guys didn't know that our technical director, Emil Delich here, he was a tight end for the Waterloo Warriors, and we were watching the game tonight, and he was just, you know, he was really enthralled with the game today, and I saw that mean streak coming out of him in a couple plays right now. You'd never want to get this individual, Emil, that is angry at you, because I could just, you could see if he would have been on the field today, he would have caused a lot of damage. Just like the Leafs that we saw tonight with Matt Martin, our technical director, Emil Delich, that reminds me of Matt Martin.
He seems so even-keeled, and Laval won, and they beat Calgary. Calgary was coming at the end, so yeah, Vanier Cup. Certainly support that. I could see Emil being out there. I don't know about Matt Brown being
He could be
our
a bodyguard
producer.
Up here for us.
I think Matt was the water boy for one of the teams, so I look closely in that stuff. So they both are those kind of figures. But he's also our out-of-town score guy, as we have eight other games going on around the National Hockey League tonight. And again, Leafs Nation postgame brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. We'll hear from many of the Maple Leafs involved in tonight's game. It was a 4-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Washington Capitals. What do you have, Matt?
Eight other games tonight on the schedule. We'll start in Ottawa, where the Carolina Hurricanes fell to the Senators 2-1 in the nation's capital. After five straight wins, the Hurricanes have lost two straight. The Sens have now won three in a row. Dion Phaneuf scores, and Kyle Turris gets his 10th of the season. That held up as the game winner. Craig Anderson gets the win in net. Sebastian Aho with the lone goal for the Hurricanes. In Detroit tonight, the Canadiens were down 1-0 late in the third period. And then Brendan Gallagher gets his 5th of the season to tie it up. And then Alex Galchenyuk, his 9th of the season, just over 2 minutes into overtime to give them the 2-1 win over Detroit. Peter Mrazek has now lost five straight starts in net for the Red Wings. Jimmy Howard was placed on the 7-day IR earlier today.
So, that's interesting. Last year, it was kind of Marc-Andre Fleury and Matt Murray type. We've seen now, we chatted earlier, Chad Johnson taking over from Brian Elliott. And this year, it was Peter Mrazek gets a new contract. It's his job. Jimmy Howard's been lights out.
Yeah, and it's been that platoon that they've had there for the last couple of years. But that's a team that no one talks about expansion draft, right? Like, if Marc-Andre Fleury gets traded, all of a sudden now the Wings have this decision to make on which one of those two guys to expose.
Yeah, but I get the feeling they're okay exposing Howard in his contract.
I think so, too.
Even if he's playing well.
Yeah, that's true. Mrazek is much, much more cap-friendly. In Florida tonight, they win 4-2 in a shootout over Columbus. The Jackets tied it up in the third period to get the point. Brandon Saad, 6th of the season. Jaromir Jagr with his third of the season, and then in. So 2-1 Panthers over the Blue Jackets in Florida. Pittsburgh comes back to beat the Devils 4-3 in a shootout as well. They were trailing 3-2 in the third period, and then who do you think tied it up with about 14 seconds left in the game? His league-leading 15th, Sidney Crosby. Matt Murray gets the victory. His seventh win in his last eight starts for them, and Crosby now 15 goals in 15 games on the season. Should note, Mike Camilleri, two goals in that game. He has 6 points in his last three games since returning from a personal leave where he went to be with his daughter and missed six games. Pens win that one at home, 4-3 in a shootout. The Blues and Wild are tied 3-3. They're heading to overtime right now. Paul Stastny, Jaden Schwartz have the goal. Schwartz, two for the Blues. Mikko Koivu, Erik Haula, and Charlie Coyle, the goals for the Blues. Canucks up 1-0. About 4 minutes left in the first period in Colorado. Louis Erickson's fifth of the season on the power play. Blackhawks and Kings just getting underway in LA, 0-0. They're honoring the Kings for the 50th anniversary. Some statues of their two Stanley Cups there. And getting underway shortly, the Ducks and Sharks in San Jose.
Thanks very much, Matt Brown. And we take a look with Todd Lusko. The game tonight, 4-2, the Maple Leafs over the Washington Capitals. Interesting start in the first period. Unlikely score to open the scoring at the 2:35 mark. Matt Martin from Mitch Marner and Tyler Bozak.
Yeah, no, we talked about this earlier in the broadcast, and what a nice pass from Mitch Marner. He spots Matt Murray just outside of the Washington Capitals blue line. His head's up. Pass gets through, finds a nice little backhand pass to Matt Martin. Goes in, heads up, looks where he's going to shoot, shoots in stride and beats him stick side, blocker side, squeezes it between his blocker and his hip, gives the Leafs a 1-0 lead. And at that particular moment, Matt Murray looks like a 50-goal scorer.
Matt Martin certainly did. And, you know, the pass from Mitch Marner, which was huge. But Martin, that was the goal scorer's goal,
really,
I got to say, against Braden Holtby, who really played well throughout the game. And it was tough to beat after that goal.
And you know, the thing about that, too, is like right after that goal, you're thinking, okay, that's a great start for him. And then all of a sudden on the power play, the 13:30 mark of the period, Holtby just absolutely stones Soshnikov right in front from a nice feed from Marner, where we said Marner could have had 4 or 5 points tonight. That was one of them, a nice feed. And then you're thinking, oh, boy, is this going to be one of these days that they think that they can get the lead, but you've got a Vezina-type goalie in there. He's going to shut the door. He did at that point, but we moved to the second period. It's 1-0 Leafs.
Yeah, 15-6, the Maple Leafs outshoot the Washington Capitals. And as you talked about then, should have been 2 or 3 nothing. So wondered what they would do. Well, they couldn't hold the 3-0 lead against New Jersey. Could they hold a 1-0 lead in the second period? They expanded at the 3:28 mark of power play goal. James Van Riemsdyk from Soshnikov and Marner.
Yeah, let's put my surprise face on. Who's in the middle of this again? Mitch Marner. He shows great patience on the half wall on the power play. And JVR is right in front of the net where he always likes to go on the PP. You know, so all of a sudden, Marner comes off. He kind of does a double take, looks where he's going to go. He fires a nice pass down to JVR, who indirectly bumps it back to Soshnikov, who takes a shot. The puck goes up. There's a rebound line there. JVR is able to corral it, takes it on his forehand, flips it high over the glove hand of Holtby to make it 2-0 Leafs on the power play. That's just what the doctor ordered, was to get on the board again and get a goal by the Leafs power play.
Washington outshot the Maple Leafs 14-11. Some great saves by Freddie Anderson to preserve the 2-0 lead. Now you come into the third period of play, and Toronto extends it very quickly. New Jersey, they gave up that quick goal early in the second period when they had the 3-0 lead. Austin Matthews, 22-second mark from Matt Hunwick.
Well, and this, you know, Gord, this is a
and Zach Hyman, excuse me. Yeah.
This is the type of goal that, you know, it's kind of nice to see the guys get rewarded on, because on this particular play, those guys are doing a heck of a good job cycling the puck. And, you know, Mike Babcock talked about, you know, we want to get some goals off our cycle. Well, this is exactly what he's talking about. They're cycling it down. The puck kind of comes to the point, and Hunwick takes a shot. And what does Austin Matthews do since he went through that slump? He knows where to go. Go to the front of the net. Good things happen when you go there. Hunwick takes a shot from the point. There's a rebound that comes out right to Austin Matthews is in front, and he's able to one-time the rebound, pass Holtby. Holtby had no chance. But that's what happens when things aren't going well. You go to where the dirty area is, go to the net, good things happen. Austin Matthews, 3 goals in the last 2 games. There you go.
Well, we did not jinx it. We did not mention the word shutout as far as Freddie Anderson went. And as we will talk about, the Washington Capitals got things a little bit revved up. 9:30 mark, Nicholas Backstrom unassisted.
Well, this is where the Leafs, you know, you want to buckle down. You want to make sure you're not giving any goals against here. But there's a little bit of a scramble in the Leafs zone. Puck kind of goes behind the net. Anderson comes out to challenge. No fault of his own. He's out of position. But Nicholas Backstrom, he's basically to the side of the net. He throws it across the crease, and guys are trying to get the puck out of the way, but it redirects off of Jake Gardner's skate and goes in behind Anderson and gives the Caps a little bit of life at that moment. It was, what did we say, it was about 8 or 9 minutes left in the game. They're only down by two, and at that particular moment, you're like, oh, boy, here we go, holding their collective breaths, hoping that the Leafs are able to close this out. It's 3-1 at that point.
Well, just when you wonder what's going to happen, all of a sudden, it is the highlight reel goal of the night, 11:50 mark, Nazem Kadri from Komarov and Riley.
Yeah, you're going to see this all over the highlights over the next couple days. You know, Kadri shows the skill set that made him the Leafs' number one pick, fifth overall. Basically, he goes in on a one-on-three against everybody in Washington, and then he goes in on Holpe and shows a really nice move going east to west, putting the puck five-hole between Holpe's leg, and restores the Leafs' three-goal lead, which, as we will find out shortly, was very important to regain that three-goal lead. The Leafs are now up 4-1.
Up 4-1, then the 16:44 mark, Johansson from Backstrom and Ovechkin.
Yeah, Marcus Johansson basically, he catches a break after the shot. After the shot from the puck, from the slot, he grabs the puck, and it's partially blocked by Morgan Riley. But Riley does a good job, gets out from him, fronts him, and puts the... puts a stick on the puck. It directs off of his stick and off his shin pads a little bit and goes up in the air. And as soon as he took the shot and it got redirected a little bit, Anderson kind of lost sight of where it was. It goes up over top of him. Nothing Anderson can do. Sneaks in beside him. And the Caps are back in the game. It's 4-2, but they're running out of time.
Well, running out of time, and they hung in. They did pull the goaltender. Leafs got some chances. It got a little bit exciting that way. 15-11 shots favored the Washington Capitals in the third period. They outshoot the Maple Leafs 37-35, but the Leafs in the important category 4-2 as far as goals went. And just a couple of notes. Morgan Riley, 22 minutes, 54 seconds. Jake Gardner, 20 minutes, 54 seconds. Zaitsev, 20 minutes, 53 seconds. So those were the, kind of the 3D. Can't see anyone after that. Forwards, Mitch Marner, 18 minutes and 2 seconds.
Well deserved.
So that was number one as far as the forwards went. The big pleasant surprise, Nikita Soshnikov, 15 minutes, 19 seconds. He'd been a fourth-line player before, and we'll hear Mike Babcock next hour. He was really, really big on the praise as far as it went. And Austin Matthews, 15 minutes, 44 seconds. I always look at his time. But, spread it around pretty well. Matt Martin got just 7 minutes, 17 seconds, but, you know, got a goal, got a fight,
yep.
Did a lot. Again, he's not overusing that fourth line, which tonight included Peter Holland and Ben Smith with the injury to William Nylander.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure he wants to do it a little bit more. We saw him put the guys out there after they scored. They went up 3-1, and there was a couple chances, or 4-1, there was a couple chances against, giving those guys the responsibility to go out and try to shut the door. They got hemmed into their zone a little bit, and Babcock maybe, okay, I'm going to take that back a little bit, get somebody else back out there. But, you know, that's an effective line. Matt Martin's going to be an effective player for these guys for the rest of the year. But, Gord, one note I wanted to point out, too, and I'm sure we'll get to it later, but Patrick Laine has had the rookie scoring lead for pretty much the last month or so. And we have a guy that just tied him tonight for the lead in rookie scoring. You know who that is?
Mitch Marner,
yeah. That's right. You think, and we were talking, we said, you know, how much of a burden is it for, or not a burden, but how much does it burn a hole in Austin Matthews? He wants to come out. He wants to take that away. He does not want, I know it's an individual trophy, but you know deep down, he was picked number one overall. There was a little bit of controversy. Laine was saying, I'm better than him. How badly does Austin Matthews want to make sure he wins that Calder trophy? Well, guess what? There's a third guy in the conversation right now, and he's tied with Laine. And Mitch Marner, at this particular moment, has put himself in the conversation. I mean, how nice is that for Toronto to have two guys in the conversation to potentially win a Calder trophy?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And just one other jumped out at me. Alexander Ovechkin's got 15 minutes of ice time his last five games. They're giving him reduced minutes, trying to, you know, spread things out. 22 minutes, 22 seconds tonight. He's the guy always going, and they're down, so they used him a whole lot that way. We'll come back and continue the discussion here from many of the players involved in tonight's game. It's a fun night for Toronto Maple Leaf fans at Air Canada Centre. Hockey night in Canada. Toronto Maple Leafs 4, Washington Capitals 2. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and the Leafs Radio Network.
Talk about about tonight's game until you're blue in the face. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Gord Stelic, Todd Olusko, welcome back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network. A 4-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Washington Capitals. And we mentioned, you know, some interesting stories off the ice. You know, one about William Nylander didn't play tonight. We'll hear from Mike Babcock again later on, but it was good to hear, I mean, what he said. He goes, he expected him to play. He skated this morning, so he doesn't think it'll be all that long. And as well, you know something, talking to Chris Johnson about, we'll talk more about Joffre Lupul down the road, because it's a strange, that's the whole thing about figuring out whether he's hurt next year or the cap implications come into play. Find out about that. But also the Toronto Marlies announced that goaltender Garrett Sparks been suspended indefinitely by the Toronto Maple Leafs for violating team policy after direct violent and sexist language toward a user in an online group. So just to paraphrase a little bit, he's involved in a Facebook group, and he went after, the story goes, somebody that mocked a disabled person. Mm-hmm. But then in some of the language he used in coming back to, I guess, attack the perpetrator, it was deemed inappropriate. So anyway, that was the scoop that way. And went home a couple of days ago. And as Chris Johnson said, he figures he'll be back relatively soon, but they want to, of course, address the seriousness of it as far as it goes. So we will, interesting about that one. So it also gave Kerry Ramo a chance to start for the Toronto Marlies today. So anyway, a lot of other news that has been going on about around the Toronto Maple Leafs. But the big news on the ice in both cases, Todd, we had two games going on today, and the Marlies won. And the Maple Leafs won. Not a bad, and both games at Air Canada Center.
Yeah, no, good day for Toronto sports fans. You know, everything went well. I mean, it was interesting today. I caught the last two periods of the Marlies game, too, and you mentioned it before. It was kind of interesting to see Colin Greening, Mahalik, and Brooks Light out there, and, you know, contributing to about $14 million worth of salary on the ice. And it's interesting when you watch those guys. I mean, the one thing I did notice is Colin Greening was the one guy that after the game, he's giving the high fives to guys. He's showing really good, you know, he's into it. He understands what's going on. He's got good leadership. But I think it's wearing a little bit on Mahalik. I watched him today. Not that he played bad, but the enthusiasm afterwards, there wasn't really much of a stick waved. It seems to him, it's like, man, I've been playing the good guy here. Could you do me the favor and try to get me out of here and see? There's got to be a team out there that wouldn't mind taking me.
He cleared waivers, though.
No, I know, that's, but it's a salary, right? And that's the whole thing. It's you know, it's so funny because it comes back to the Roberto Luongo thing in Vancouver. Sometimes those guys wish they could redo their contracts now just so they could have a chance to go play somewhere else. And because that seems to be the problem, right? It's always salary. The kid's a great player still. He can still bring it to somebody. And he could probably help someone out. But obviously the salary with what it is, there's a lot of teams that just can't fit it in.
Yeah, I don't. Well, and even as much as that, I don't know if they debate. They give up the money anyway. They won't. But just you're kind of stuck.
Yeah,
your
really
salary becomes an albatross.
I mean, you can't feel sorry for a guy that's making $4.5 million. Like, who are we kidding? It's a great lifestyle. But just from the player standpoint, you want to play, and you would do things. You would give back money if you could get yourself on another NHL roster somewhere. They've made enough money. It's not like he needs the cash right now. He's going to live a comfortable life. He just wants to get in an NHL roster again.
Well, the other part is that money all counts towards the Leafs salary cap, except for about $1 million. Mm-hmm. Where before it was used to be a measure that you buried guys down in the American Hockey League because it took the money basically right off your cap. So it's shown by clearing things out and taking on a lot of those Ottawa Senator contracts in return for them taking Dion Phaneuf. You've really got a big debt or big burden down with the Marlies, but you can afford it this year, and in future years will be tighter, but those contracts will be gone.
And to your point, I guess, was the price you got to pay when you want to, you know, bring the youth of Toronto back and bring the lineup to be what it is. And we are seeing, you know, it sucks because one guy has to sacrifice his NHL career in order for these young guys to come up and get their started. But that's the way it goes. And, you know, you take the good with the bad. They've had their run. But I mean, for those guys, they're such good guys. You'd like to see them end their career the way they want to and not just get buried because of salary cap issues.
Well, we will come back with more of Leafs Nation postgame. Yeah, we will. We got another hour, Matt. I know you want to get going, but Todd and I and Emil, we love it here. And hunker down in Air Canada Center. Of course, who do we have next hour, though? You told me, and I couldn't hear you. Nobody? Okay. If you find a guest, we'll get somebody. We don't need it. We got all kinds. We've got headlines from Hockey Night in Canada. And, of course, we'll hear from a lot of the players involved in tonight's game. Mike Babcock as well. Okay. And we'll be back. 4-2 win over the Washington Capitals. Leafs Nation postgame continues.
The game is the meal. We're the after-dinner drinks. Pour yourself a cold one. Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Draw one by the Capitals at the point. Sped in along the boards by Carlson. A centering pass. Oh, what a save by Anderson. Holy Mackinac. He robs John Carlson from the top of the circle coming across with the left hand to maintain a 3-0 lead.
That's some of the play tonight. Freddie Anderson, outstanding. Leafs are outshot 37-35, but they win 4-2. So that's one of the 35 saves he made. They went 4-2 over the Washington Capitals. Gord Stellick, Todd Alushko, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. It's good having a little spirit to talk off air and everything, remembering Loops Troops and all that, you know, and just seems like yesterday. And they still do a great job. They've changed it, though, to just, you know, Leafs honoring the troops. And tonight, Mike Foligno. Did you see Mike Foligno now scouting for Las Vegas?
Down there,
he's
yep.
The one that made the presentation.
You know, he was... I don't know where to go with this. I guess I'm going to go with. I wanted to bring up another player tonight that I thought is. We were kind of all over these guys at the beginning of the season. You know, what is this guy? Is he going to pan out to someone? I like the way Zach Hyman played tonight. I mean, we give everyone else props and stuff. I thought Zach Hyman played a really good game again at 16 minutes. Seems like his ice time seems to be going up a little bit every single game. Another assist tonight for Zach Hyman. Here's a guy that didn't start off on a house of fire, but now this has just been a reliable guy for Toronto Maple Leafs.
You know, it's funny, we debated if Soshnikov, because certainly Mike Babcock loved the way Soshnikov played, wondered if, of the nine guys, if he's going to move up,
yep.
That he might take some of Hyman's ice time away. But that's a healthy situation. That's a healthy situation if that is going to work out. Anyway, we will hear from some of the principals involved tonight's game. You know, we also have the hockey headlines that we'll hear in a second. But first, rather than Leaf talk, we have Braden Holtby. Is that correct? So let's hear it. Let's hear that first. We'll have a number of Leafs, but apparently Braden Holtby, the Washington Capitol netminder, wasn't all that happy post game. So let's hear from him after the 4-2 loss.
Talk about playing quick, but this looked like one of those nights where you guys were stuck in the mud a little bit.
Yeah, we didn't look like the Washington Capitals out there at all. Completely embarrassed by a young team. That's, you know, not acceptable in our culture here. We're gonna have to be better. Every one of us. It was embarrassing.
We've seen you guys maybe have a bad period. You know, take the intermission to get it together. Come out and sort of turn the tide a little bit. What did you guys discuss between periods and any thoughts as to why they were able to come out and score early in the second and the third?
I don't know. I mean, it's in between periods, Barry's trying to get us going. And we didn't do it as a group. You know, it was, you look all night, they had two, three options on every play, and that's usually our strength, is guys doing their job, working for others. We didn't work for each other at all tonight. Back-to-backs, those are the ones where you have to grind it out, and you know, we're going to have to work harder, we're going to have to be more mentally prepared. We played spoiled tonight.
Past couple of weeks, the minor penalties have really kind of spiked a little bit. What kind of effect does that have on a game? You guys, have to do three pretty close to each other early on.
It shows we're not moving our feet. We're not mentally prepared, especially against a team like that. You know, coaches emphasize that one of their real strengths is their power play, and we let them dictate the game with that. It was a game where it ended up 4-2, and we didn't deserve to be anywhere close to that.
4-day break is a little bit of an oasis, but coming off an effort like this, does it make it tougher to have to wait that long to sort of atone for you?
Not necessarily. I think we need to get to work and practice, get in better shape, get working harder. Realize it's not easy just because it was we had success last year. We got to look at tonight, a young lineup like they are, not taking anything away from them and their skill, but if we want to be a top team in the league, we need to have a veteran presence. We need to have our top guys working, and we're going to work on it.
Well, you're the ex-player. Curious what you think of Braden Holtby's remarks.
I got no problems with that whatsoever. That's a veteran goaltender that likes to lead by example, that is calling out some of his other veterans. I mean, he's not looking at any of the rookies or the young guys. He's talking about the big guys. He's talking about Ovi. He's talking about Backstrom. He wants those guys to take responsibility for a game that they thought they should have won tonight. And I love the fact that, you know, he's not putting down the Leafs.
I love because, he says that, but he kind of means we got to beat these.
Well,
I know. 30th last year,
and he's trying to say the right thing. But I mean, Toronto is a different team; it's a different animal from what they had last year. But they still expected to come in. This is a team that, at the beginning of this season, were considered Stanley Cup favorites, and I think that's what he considers their team to be. And I'm sure all the players in the dressing room feel the same way. So when they come in here and don't play up to their expectations, you're going to get something like that. So I have no problem with him doing that, because Braden Holtby is the type of guy that backs up his play all the time, and he's just challenging his best players on his team to be better.
Well, that was it on the one side. And so what, should we hear from the Leafs first before we hear hockey headlines? Let's do that. Yeah, I said headlines, but we'll hear later on the hockey headlines from Hockey Night in Canada. But let's hear from some of the Leafs. You know what, we'll start with the coach first, okay? So we'll hear from Mike Babcock, head coach, and then we'll hear from some of the players involved in tonight's game. Here he is, Mike Babcock, Maple Leaf coach, after the 4-2 win.
Yeah, he's a day-to-day upper body injury.
Something affecting on the trip, Ligo?
I think so. I thought it was planned today. He skated this morning, so I don't think it's much.
Mike, what did you like about this performance tonight?
We won. Saturday night, I get a day off tomorrow, and so do they. We won, so that's good. What else do I like? I mean, they're obviously a real good team. I thought our penalty kill was outstanding. I would have liked not to have been in the box so much. But our penalty kill was outstanding. Our power play was good as well. Our third one wasn't very good, but our first, second, and third, or fourth, were real good. And then I thought our guys were competitive. Andy was good in that. I thought Riley might have had his best. You know, he was really, really good. Him and Zaitsev were really good as a pair. And Naz's line playing against Ovechkin, and whether it be Kuznetsov or Backstrom, were really solid.
Beyond the penalties, did you think the guys played better with the lead?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. We just got to learn that we can't turn the puck over. You know, we turned the puck over there in the third, and we took a penalty on that shift. And so you just can't turn pucks over when you're trying to salt the game away. So it's a process, and you have to learn how to do it, and you got to get used to doing it. And once you get used to doing it, it's just automatic.
Well, the guys said they thought maybe it's been their most complete performance of the season. Would you agree with them?
Well, I think what the quality of opponent makes you feel like that. And we've played some good games, obviously, but the quality of the opponent, I think, makes you feel more like that. Now, it's good for our guys. Like I said, we got a day off, and we're going on the road, and now we got to be capable of playing on the road. And the guys that played real solid tonight at home, you got to be able to play on the road as well. So it's all part of the process.
How did you think Sasha got kind of the extra minutes?
I thought he was outstanding. Mean.
In the game, we felt you used your speeds. Got them cased and you got them in.
No, I thought we skated good early. Now, they played last night too, and they played at 5, so they got in a decent time, but they still played. And so I thought jumping on them early and getting skating was good. The first couple of shifts, they won all the stick battles, and then once we got skating and moving, we were pretty good. So you guys have a good night.
There you go, Mike Babcock, head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And like we said, we chatted about it. William Nylander, that sounds optimistic about him hopefully not being out too long, because Babcock was as surprised as anybody, and very big on Soshnikov, and very complimentary to Morgan Rielly as well.
Well, I think even coming back to last year when Soshnikov got a little bit of the cup of coffee up with the Leafs, he was a big fan of his and was looking forward to getting Soshnikov back in the lineup to start the season. And when Soshnikov was injured and couldn't play at the beginning of the season, it was a little bit of a disappointment. I think he wanted him to start with the team. Goes down to the Marlies, plays well, gets back up. And, you know, the one thing I'll say about Soshnikov, he has made this time with the Leafs count right now. He's been given the opportunity. And he's done a fantastic job since he's been in the lineup.
Hear from some more of the players involved in tonight's game. And let's first do... How about Freddie Anderson? And we'll do the Christine Simpson interview. So Freddie Anderson, right after the game on Hockey Night in Canada, of course, we mentioned 37 shots on goal. He stopped 35 of them. Here he is post-game after the 4-2 win, chatting with Christine Simpson.
Well, the Leafs get the lead, and this time they hang on to it, Frederick, despite a bit of a push at the end. How good does this one feel, especially coming against a team like the Washington Capitals?
Really good. They're a good team, and we've been struggling a little bit lately. Haven't won as many games as we wanted to the last few games, but this one feels good, and get back on the right track again. I think we came out really hard the periods we had the lead, and got some goals, especially in the third. We came out right away and scored one there, so that was pretty good.
The guys were talking about just how calm and confident you look in the net right now. Where does that confidence come from when you consider how the season began for you?
I think just getting settled and putting in the work. And just keeps building, and you feel good. You want to play a lot, and keep it going. I think they've been helping me out too, and allowed me to play more calm. And
I guess you were destined to be a goaltender. Now your father Ernst in Denmark, he gets up to watch your games every night. Tell me, do you get some tips from him still at this point?
I don't know. We help out each other a little bit since he's a goalie coach too. So he learned a little bit from me now, and I think. He definitely stays up and watches the game when he can, and even though it's in the middle of the night, so it's pretty cool.
Well, he'll be happy to be watching this one. Thanks, Frederick.
Yeah, thank you.
Frederick Anderson chatting with Christine Simpson. So Matt Brown, our producer, just saying his save percentage, .932, last 13 games. I mean, he was well under .900 early on. And, Todd, it just shows, and this is part of doing Leafs Nation postgame, the whole focus from all the callers early on, the concern, do they have a legitimate number one goaltender? And that certainly is justifiably dissipated.
And if I'm not mistaken, I think his career average is .917. So he's above that right now. You know what? When you get a goaltender that has confidence in the net, it makes everybody around you have confidence. And I've played in a situation where we have no confidence in a goaltender, and it absolutely you feel like you've got to block every single shot, and you've got to take away any scoring chance and stuff because you don't have faith in a goaltender. But Freddie Anderson has got that swagger back. He's feeling it. The cheap goals aren't going in on him. He's making the saves he's supposed to make, and that resonates through the entire locker room. Guys are feeling more confident about themselves. They feel like they don't have to do the little extra thing in their own zone. Just do their own job because they know that the goaltender is going to take care of it for them. And I think that's, obviously with any team's success, you have to have a confident goaltender back there doing the job. And Freddie Anderson has been doing that as of late.
Yeah, absolutely. Freddie Anderson and our man Matt Brown, he's resonating about doing the out-of-town scores pretty soon. But we will do that in a little bit. Let's hear from some more of the Toronto Maple Leaf players involved in the 4-2 win. First of all, boy, Mitch Marner does a little bit of everything. And it was, it's some of the defensive plays. It's all, it's the little things. If you do get a chance, if you're fortunate to come to a game, he's one of the guys you just want to watch, right?
Oh.
He just like without the puck, like just watching him come on sometime and just isolate on a shift.
Without it, with it, I mean, the one thing that you're going to get every single time is that he loves that. It's almost a little bit like a Denny Savardi. He's going out and he looped the one time. He went around the net maybe one and a half times in his own zone and eventually found Tyler Bozak back door. Like, he just creates space for himself, and it's so exciting to watch. He's got such a skill set. I know people are probably getting tired because we're pumping his tires every single game that he plays.
No, it's nice for a change.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It is nice that he is doing it, and it's well-deserved. That's the thing. It's not just... we're not just making up this stuff, and hopefully this guy's going to turn into the superstar. He is a young superstar, and he's budding right now. And I'll tell you what, it is exciting every single time that guy gets on the ice. He's creating something, whether it's offensive or defensive. He's a difference maker every time he's on the ice.
Two assists he had tonight, one shot on that, 18 minutes and 2 seconds of ice time. Here's a little bit from Mitch Marner postgame.
That first goal with Matt, what are you seeing there? You see that right away, that pass?
Yeah, I kind of saw him come off the bench, and obviously it was a great pickup by him and an even better shot.
Did that breakaway chance there just run out of real estate in front of Holtby?
I don't know. I tripped on something. I don't know what I fell on. Tried to pull it back and lost an edge or something.
What do you say about the type of play that Freddie gave in front of you late in the game, especially?
Yeah, he was great all night again. You know, he's been great every time he's been in that crease. So, he kept us in all night, and he's a big reason of why we won.
How revved up were the guys for Matt's fight?
Yeah, it was. Obviously he's defending Honey there, and a guy comes out, scores a goal, and gets a fight in one game. It's pretty electric. So, it's definitely fun to watch that.
There is Mitch Marner. And the one play he talked about was interesting. It looked like he out-deked himself, but he lost an edge, crashed into Holtby. Holtby was pissed, gave him a whack with a stick.
Gave him a little bit of a... But he backed up. He didn't crush him hard. He just gave him a little bit of a...
And then Mitch was explaining to him just, hey, man, I lost an edge.
And that happens. And you know what's fun about Mitch Marner? We watch him on the ice, but then you listen to him in the interview as well. He's just as jubilant and excited when he's getting interviewed. It's refreshing. It's not the same old boring rehearsed conversation you get from other guys that have been trained how to talk. This guy's open. He's excitable. He's happy. He's in the NHL right now. He's living his dream right now, and he expresses it even in interviews. It's awesome. I love watching this kid.
Well, the guy that was able to complete the kind of move that he made was Nazem Kadri. I mean, that was the kind of deke Mitch Marner was trying to look to do, and Nazem Kadri, give him credit. Highlight reel type goal that he did score that was the fourth and final goal for the Maple Leafs. He has that goal. He was even tonight. He had six shots on net, in 17 minutes, 6 seconds of ice time. Here he is after the 4-2 Leaf win, Nazem Kadri.
Cool. Thanks, Mitch.
Absolutely, and they were on a end of a 3-4, so we knew we had to get on them early, and especially as the game went on, just keep sustaining the pressure, and we were able to do that.
Seems like you were all over the Capitals early offensively. Did you feel like you were building towards that goal finally from the Leaf to get it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I had some pretty... great A scoring chances. We wasn't able to find the net, and it just happens to be that way. You got to stay with the process, whether you're scoring goals or not. You got to contribute in different ways, and when you get opportunities, you have to be ready to score.
Penelope seemed to be doing a good job of neutralizing Ovechkin, which is obviously easier said than done. What was the key there?
It's just puck pressure. They had a lot of pucks on the walls, and we were able to pressure them and not really let them get set up. I mean, they had a couple looks, but they're good players. They're going to have that. But for the most part, our penalty kill definitely was over the top. And, I mean, special teams just in general kind of took the game over for us.
Playing with Shashenkov tonight, what does he add to your duo combo?
Well, he's got grit. He's got speed. He can score. He's definitely a shooter. So, he's still a young kid trying to figure it out, but he definitely played great for us tonight. His tenacity is unbelievable. It seems like he just wants the puck constantly, so that's a real good positive for a young kid.
How big is this going on the road trip now next week?
Just builds confidence. I mean, like I said earlier, just playing those tight games, those tight situations where the other teams are going to push back. We've got to be able to receive it and kind of neutralize it to a certain degree. So just being able to play with the lead is something we got to get used to. And, I have full confidence as the year goes on, we'll get better at that.
And protecting the lead, too, in the third, as you did tonight.
Yeah, I mean, playing with the lead, that's, in those 1-2 goal hockey games, sometimes those can be super difficult to play in, especially if you got, offensive guys on the other team like Backstrom and Ovechkin. So, like I said, we were able to neutralize them for the most part and come out with a win.
There we go. Nazem Kadri after another impressive performance. That was a highlight reel goal for sure. A little bit of feistiness. And Nazem Kadri coming up with a big game.
Yeah, no, that was as the kids say, a sick move. He went in there and he went backhand, 5-hole. He looked so good out there tonight. And that's Nazem Kadri. I mean, he was, correct me if I'm wrong, is it 5th overall or 6th overall, Matty? 6th overall. I mean, he was showing the skill set that made 7th overall okay.
Yeah.
It's been so long. It's been such a long time ago.
Seventh.
But he you know, in that move there, that was basically giving you a reminder of why you drafted him that high, because he does have that skill set in his arsenal, and he can pull it out at any time. He showed it tonight.
Well, the other one, and no slight to Nazem Kadri at all, but he didn't play the way Matthews and Marner did as a 19-year-old.
Yes.
And that's why he should have developed a little bit more. He kept getting called up under knee-jerk reactions and a little bit overreactive when they'd have a losing streak and, you know, a number of other things. And to his credit, 2 years ago getting suspended for 3 games by the organization, last year seemingly, certainly earning the faith of Lou Lamoriello and Mike Babcock in a 6-year contract as well. Got to give the guy full marks.
Well, that goes a long ways, too. I mean, if you're in an organization and you're kind of in limbo, you don't know what's going to happen to you, it's tough to play. And he's playing comfortable. He's playing relaxed. You know he's part of this organization. He's in the organization's plans. They showed him that by committing to him long-term like that. And it really does put you a little bit at ease and lets you play the way that you've always played, the reason why you got drafted 7th overall. It gives you that confidence that this organization believes in you. And he's rewarding them with playing some terrific hockey this year.
Well, James Van Beemsdyk, we talked about Mitch Marner earlier. He's have to be loving his new line mate as far as it goes. JVR had one of those great JVR moves between the legs, a highlight reel thing, but hit the
Matt
post
Brown's
on it.
Matt Brown's favorite move.
A Matt Brown-type move, but he does score a goal more conventionally. He's a -1 for the game, 3 shots on net, 16 minutes, 54 seconds of ice time. Here he is after the game, a 4-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs, James Van Riemsdyk.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, obviously, Martin's just getting his feet wet now, and there's a lot of room for him to grow, but, I mean, his upside and potential is huge, and you definitely see some of those similar tendencies of that a little bit of poise and that ability to hold the puck the extra second to make that great play. And again, he's a guy who loves the game, and he works really hard at it, so the sky's the limit for him.
James, is this one of your more complete games of the year, do you think?
Yeah, I think we did a good job coming out the right way. I think, again, we knew the situation they were in, playing their 3rd game in 4 nights, coming in on a back-to-back. So we wanted to really make sure we made it hard on them, put pucks in deep, and make them come the full ice to earn their chances. As you know, they're a strong team, and if you give them chances, they're going to bury them.
With Marner's passing ability, is it like when you're on his line, are your stick always on the ice, kind of looking
yeah,
for it?
Yeah, it's been fun, I think, playing with those guys. I mean, I think our games complement each other very well, where those two guys have just, again, good vision and poise and passing ability, and kind of my game's always been trying to find those soft areas and getting open and hopefully bearing some chances. So those guys have been really fun to play with, and I think we've been feeding off each other very well.
Capitals have some great goal scorers. How big did Freddie come up for you guys tonight in net?
Yeah, he was great. Some huge saves in there to make the difference in the game for us, and yeah, he's been great for us all year, so he's been every night we can count on him to give us a chance to win.
What does Soshnikov bring to that power play? You had, coach said he wanted a little bit extra. It put Soshnikov there, and you guys got a goal.
Yeah, he was, again, he's just the way he kind of moves around. He's got that big shot, and he hunts the pucks back pretty well. So when we're trying to retrieve the puck on the power play, which is a huge part of the power play, is getting the puck back. I think he's really good in that area, too. So he's very excitable and yelling for the puck when he's open. So he definitely lets you know he's there, which is a good thing.
James, you can kind of relate to getting traded and getting used to a new team. It's pretty. Anderson seemed a lot more comfortable now, just in the room and the city in general, from what you can sense.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's always a big change, especially coming from a place like Southern California to maybe a little bit different, more of a microscope here in Toronto. So there's lots of different factors, new surroundings, new apartment, new city, new teammates. So there's tons of different things. And again, he wants to be a good player, and you can see that and how hard he works at it and how much pride he takes in his game. So again, we didn't really do a good enough job in front of him earlier in the year. I thought he's been playing well for the whole year, and every night he gives us a chance to win.
How big is this game heading into this road trip next week?
Yeah, we want to get these points at home, and those are huge. And now we know we have 3 big games coming up, and we'll have to get back to work and be ready for it.
Do you feel it's a lot different than this time last year? You took that trip, and it seemed to be the height of all the turmoil and the Deion trade and everything. You guys are more well-adjusted.
I didn't even realize that, but yeah, you know what? Obviously, we're kind of right in the hunt now for playoff position, and we know these are some critical points coming up for us, so we got to make sure we can bank as many points as we can.
Quick question about the deke you tried. Do you find if you do that every few games versus trying it every game that you may catch them off guard?
Yeah, you know, it all depends on the situation of the play. If I can, if I don't have enough room to turn, then I try that because it's harder for the goalie to poke it, but hopefully I get one on that one of these games.
Well, long chat with James Van Riemsdyk. I'm glad to hear James Van Riemsdyk all pumped about the way things went. He got one of the four goals in the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-2 win over the Washington Capitals. And, yeah, one note as well. We talked earlier about Garrett Sparks getting suspended. It's a Jeff Glass played goal. I mentioned about Kerry Romo being around as far as the depth chart goes in the Toronto Maple Leafs goaltending hierarchy of that. But it was Jeff Glass that got the opportunity.
Yeah, no, Jeff Glass, he played a good game tonight, too. And that's, you know, when you get that opportunity, regardless of the situation, you've got to make the most of it. And that's what he did tonight. He played well. And, you know, the one thing about Garrett Sparks, I don't know too much about what happened. But if you know the guy, I knew him when he played for the Guelph Storm. I'm sure that what he said and what he did didn't come out the way he wanted to. But that's the problem we talk about, Gord, is you got to be careful with what you say and how you say it in social media, because it's never going away. Once it's in print, once you put it out there, it's there to stay regardless of whether or not you you mean it or you say back, you apologize. There's always going to be repercussions. But I've known Garrett Sparks for a bunch of years, not on an intimate level of a really good close friend, but I do know I know Garrett Sparks isn't the type of person that meant any harm in those comments, but we'll leave that to him, and we'll leave that to the Toronto Maple Leafs to figure out exactly what's going to happen.
Well, we'll come back. More Leafs Nation postgame. We'll hear from the hockey headlines from the Saturday. Elliot Friedman, Nick Kyprios, and the gang. 4-2, the Toronto Maple Leafs defeat the Washington Capitals. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan. It's your post-game workout. You're listening to Leafs Nation post-game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Coming out of the corner in front, and Hyman is robbed by the right leg. Another shot, scores! Austin Matthews! Zach Hyman was absolutely robbed by the right leg of Braden Holtby, but someone was there to tidy things.
He had outstanding goaltending on both sides tonight was really the story, despite the fact four goals were put by Braden Holtby on the Washington Capitals side. He did make some big saves. Gord Stelic, Todd Alushko, welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame. Brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, a 4-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Washington Capitals, and snap, Todd, that three-game losing streak.
Yeah, they did, and we talked about that Austin Matthews goal is why one of the reasons he's got out of his out of that 13-game goalless streak that he had a couple of games ago. Is he's going to the areas where the puck is, going to the front of the net. You always tell players when they're struggling to score a goal, go to the dirty areas, which is in the front of the net. The puck will find you there. That's what happened. That's what Austin Matthews did the other night against New Jersey. Scored two there. Scores a big one tonight. Being in that area, being in that five-foot zone in front of the goaltender, he was there again tonight, and he was rewarded with his third goal in two nights.
Well, that's as we talk about around the league as well, there's a Leaf-Washington side, the big win by the Leafs, but part of Hockey Night in Canada is the hockey headlines during intermission. Ron McLean, Nick Kyprios, Elliot Friedman, and Kelly Rudy. Let's hear what they had to chat about today.
It means time for the headlines, and Elliot, let's start with a couple of injuries in Detroit.
Yeah, some ugly ones tonight. The Red Wings, who have battled injuries all season, like many NHL teams, have a couple big ones tonight. This is Brendan Smith left the game after this collision with Philippe Danault, and then just a few moments ago, this was Tyler Bertuzzi going to the corner with Emelin, and you just hope that's not as bad as it looked, that somehow he's going to be all right and not miss too much time there. Obviously, no updates at this particular point in time. One update we can give you with Detroit, they are thinking Jimmy Howard, it's 10 to 14 days with his groin injury that knocked him out of their game last night.
Jonathan Toews will miss his second consecutive game in L.A. The good news is now they consider it a minor injury right now, and they don't see anything long-term. That's good news for a guy that's been very durable throughout his career.
Should mention those California teams are starting to roll, aren't they, once again? So, Kelly, Calgary in a new arena. I always thought with Mayor Nahed Nenshi, the chances of the Flames receiving any kind of municipal assistance would be slim and none. But you're telling me there's been some kind of breakthrough?
Well, as a Calgarian, I would agree with you. I would never have thought with Nenshi as our mayor that we'd have any sort of progress. But much to my surprise, a couple weeks ago, I ran into Ken King and I asked him, hey, we had a real brief conversation. Any news on a possible new arena? And he said, yes, things, we are starting to make some progress. So again, I followed up today and he said that the Flames feel very encouraged by the city's determination to get a new facility. So that's good news. Now, they're both, the other good thing is they're both listening to each other's proposal. As you might recall, the city wants the a new arena to go in the East Village, and the Flames are sticking with where they'd like the West Village, their original proposal. But the good thing is there's still lots of communication. Further to that, Nenshi was spotted at Rio, the Olympics this summer, and there's a discussion, or there's a word anyways, that Calgary might be putting in a bid for the 2026 Winter Olympics. So it seems as though there's progress. Ken King actually told me the Flames feel there could be a deal made.
And both of us love Mayor Nenshi. I think everybody in Canada loves him. So that's not to slag him at all in terms of not giving money to the Flames. But it was a surprise to hear that's a breakthrough. Good. Okay, Vancouver, what's going on, Ellen?
Well, Ben Hutton, they signed this week. And Jim Benning made it very clear that they would like to sign Bo Horvat to a long-term extension. Searched around for a couple of comparables. And these are a couple of names I came up with. Two players who signed long-term deals this year, Victor Rask and Rickard Rakell. And if you look at their numbers, this is in their entry-level contracts, they've scored more at a higher rate than Horvat. But when you look at year number three, you look at Horvat, he is trending upwards. And I think the biggest question is here, he's represented by Newport. And when you look at their history is to wait. And I think if Horvat continues to score at the rate he's scoring at, and you look at the future in Vancouver, and he's got a chance to be a big point scorer there, I think the Canucks are going to need to come up with a really big number to sign him to a long-term deal right now.
Yeah, and it doesn't appear that Jim Benning and the Vancouver Canucks are ready to mail it in anytime soon. They're looking for scoring here. I know there's a lot of teams that are looking for scoring, of course. You're going to have to move something substantial. Teams are calling for Chris Tanev. Right now, Vancouver's saying that he's not available. You can pick as many as you want on defense here, but that's the one player we're not prepared to go down that route just yet.
With the emergence of Stetcher, Trampkin looks good. Vancouver is getting a little deep on the back end. It's nice to see. You know, we have the top payroll in the NHL right now on our show with the Detroit Red Wings. Their cap right now is at $79 million because of long-term injury relief for Helm and Johan Franzen. You have the least expensive payroll in the Carolina Hurricanes. Now you have Brent Burns' contract is just blowing everything up again. So what's the follow-up?
Well, 8x8, and it takes the best available defenseman in this summer's free agent market off the market. So we're talking about who's next. I think there's two guys. There's Kevin Shattenkirk and there's Carl Alsner, who Nick will talk about in a second. I understand that last summer there were two teams that were given permission to talk to Kevin Shattenkirk by St. Louis, and I believe that was Edmonton and Arizona. The teams aren't commenting, the agent's not commenting, but from what I understand, that was the case. Shattenkirk wasn't interested in Edmonton. Arizona did have some movement, but obviously not far enough to get a deal done. A lot of teams think that Shattenkirk likes the Rangers, but they do think if there's a bidding war there, Ron, it could push him up close to $7 million.
So, Elliot, if you need offense, you go Shattenkirk. If you need a shutdown guy, you go Carl Alsner here. And if you're now the Washington Capitals and you've got as many as 10 contracts expiring at the end of the year and one of them's Carl Alsner, you're going to have some challenges here. The problem now is the price has been set for Carl Alsner as much as $6 million, they believe, is going right for a top four defenseman. They can't go down that path. Not until you truly find out what you want to do. You mentioned Kuznetsov in our pregame show. I would have said last season this time, he was a lock to get a long-term deal and be a fixture for the Washington Capitals. I'm not sure they're convinced anymore. Until they really find out what their lineup is, you can't sign a guy like Carl Alsner. People are telling me don't rule out George McPhee in Las Vegas, who's got a history with Carl. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's lurking there come July 1st.
Tells you how teams covet offense, and why wouldn't you with Shattenkirk? Because you're going to get a really good offensive player, but he's got some weaknesses as well.
Hockey headlines on Hockey Night in Canada. We're on McLean, Kelly Rudy, Elliot Friedman, Nick Kiprios, Coach Delek, Todd Alushko. Welcome you back to Leafs Nation postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, a 4-2 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs over the Washington Capitals. Our man Lance Hornby from the Toronto Sun joining us just for a few minutes. And, yeah, we're chatting. I forgot the Grey Cup still has this kind of bite. It's no knock to it, but this was the quietest and least poorly attended press box, I think, all season long.
Yeah, you know what? I know a lot of visiting writers are in town from Calgary, Ottawa, and the usual suspects always come in from Saskatchewan and the West, but a bit of reflection, I guess, as to what this year's game, buzz-wise, is sort of on the, you know, a little slow, owing to the, you know, the ticket sales and everything else going on right now. But the CFL never seems to disappoint, though. I'm sure tomorrow will be a very good game at some point, even though Calgary, obviously, a favorite.
They'll probably fly in about 1,000 or 2,000 Saskatchewan Rough Rider fans to fill the seats.
Well, there's some of them here in the stands tonight.
They just weren't in the...
You know, I was saying to Lance the other thing, because usually you'd get writers from those places wanting to see a hockey game, but now we see every hockey game,
right?
It's not a novelty anymore.
They got it on their phone in their pocket somewhere.
Better time spent partying.
Right. I'm sure that's where some of my colleagues are tonight.
Well, to get that, you listen, the night before any Grey Cup is always a big party somewhere. So when you find out where it is, Lance, let me know, because I wouldn't mind joining.
I'll have that intel coming up for you.
Lance, I just, you know, talking about tonight and stuff, I mean, we've talked about this guy at length tonight and stuff, but every time Mitch Marner touches the puck or every time he's on the ice, he always creates something with these guys. And it seems like this kid is years beyond his age right now, and he does things that you see, you know, a seasoned NHL veteran that's had 5 or 6 years. What is it about this kid and the confidence that he has that he's that type of an impact player for this Toronto Maple Leafs team at this young age?
You know, you hit the nail on the head. He's the kid who makes something out of nothing. And, you know, a lot of players go their whole careers unable to do that, that kind of thing. And, you know what? He's... You know, the big concern with him was the size coming in this year, but that hasn't been a factor at all because, well, you know, you just can't catch him. You can't, you know, you can't intimidate him. He's got a little bit of swagger. He's obviously got the smarts. And the other thing, too, is that he's not a one-man show. He's playing with a lot of other fast rookies. And, of course, he's on a veteran line right now that's finishing a lot of those plays. And, you know, he's making Van Riemsdyk and Bozak look very good as well.
Yeah, they're rejuvenated. Both those guys look like they're just – they don't miss Kessel that much anymore. They seem to be pretty happy having Marner on that line.
The other part, too, is coming back, you know, three consecutive losses by one goal, a three-goal lead they blew, and that one went into a shootout. So I know in talking to Mike Babcock, you talked to him a lot more, the importance of now, okay, it's fun, enjoy the ride, but doing things right, figuring out every second, figuring out how to play with the score like they had to tonight and preserving those W's. So a little bit of the kid gloves were off, especially against Morgan Riley, for example, and then they were very much back on. He was satisfied the way he played, but he challenged him.
Yeah, you know, I think this was a game for a lot of Leafs to batten down the hatches. You know, he was clearly upset at the way things happened in New Jersey, but this was a night where they had a team they could put away fairly early if they knew, you know, playing three games in four nights, if they put the pedal down hard at the start, it was going to be difficult. And I thought they kept their feet moving. They got Washington into early penalty trouble. Washington expended a lot of energy trying to, you know, trying to get through that. And, of course, they were, by the time they got their act together, the game was out of hand. But, you know, the other thing Babcock said, I think, is going on the road now. He wants to see some of the same effort from these guys on the road.
They've only won one game.
Yeah, it hasn't been, you know, it's not exactly been night and day because they have been ahead. I think the first three that they, you guys talked earlier about, you know, blowing the leads, that all came early on, and those were real big points that they let get away. But it's going to be interesting. A couple of days off, back-to-back, Calgary-Edmonton, and of course, Nazem Kadri will get a frosty reception in Vancouver when it gets out there. But I think these next three games will be a true measuring stick because they're on the road, because they've had difficulty there.
I'm going to ask you and then I'll ask Todd. I'm curious, what do you think is going to happen in Vancouver?
A few games ago, I would have thought if that game had been a little closer, then it might have been more animosity. I think the Canucks have some issues of their own that they have to deal with. Let's remember when they came out here, there was talk about Willie Desjardins being let go at that point, but I think they've recovered to a certain degree. But people have long memories out there, and you know, it's you know, it would be the same as somebody trying to take out you know, Matt Sundin in his heyday. You know, Kadri often plays on the edge. I don't think it was that bad of a hit, but because it's one of the Sedins, then you know, that comes with a certain amount of risk, and there'll be some kind of payback, some kind of you know, some kind of action towards him, some sort of attention paid to him. But I don't think it'll get out of hand. I think the Canucks need the points too badly.
Well, I think Matt Martin's going to go out. I think that Babcock may even start him. Say, listen, go do what you got to do. He's going to get out there. Gabranson's going to come out. Gabranson's one that called him out behind the arena. And if it's in the old days, all right, let's get out there, let's do it, let's get it over with, and then play the game. That's what I think. I think if it is going to happen, it's going to happen within the first 3 or 4 minutes of the game when Matt Martin's on the ice, not when Kadri's on, because Matt Martin's going to go out, he's going to stand up for his teammates. Gabranson, you made a call, let's do it, let's dance, and then get it over with. That's the way it works.
Well, I had chatted with Kadri briefly about that, about what to expect. I know that's going to be sort of building during the week, and he said, you know, as he always says, he loves being in the eye of the hurricane, mm-hmm. and I think that's going to be, you know, that's going to be something he's not going to shy away from as the week goes on and you get closer to Saturday night.
Yeah, you know, just Toronto Marlies play today. It was interesting seeing Colin Greening, Milan Mihalik, Brooks mm-hmm. Like. Candidates for a cup of coffee, too, when you do that book, as far as their time with the Toronto Maple Leafs. But just showing the Maple Leafs up top have decided they're all in with the young players. You thought one or two of those guys might be around yeah. for their veteran presence. So we're all doing these quarter pole evaluations, and you've seen a lot of quarter pole evaluations. You've seen some that have gone well at the final pole. Too many, whether it's the 18-wheeler going off the road in the Brian Burke era, have gone a little bit south. But anyway, talk about what you've liked or maybe your observations a quarter of the way through.
You know what? It would have been easy to throw at all those kids and just live with mistake after mistake after mistake. But you touched on Marner playing as much like a pro as he is, like a seasoned veteran. And you have, you know, Austin Matthews, I guess, has been the real up and down one with you know, big games followed by some tail off. Tonight, I thought he played well. He was able to add another point after what he did the other night. But I think, and again, we touched on it, how much the veterans have been lifted by this. It's not, you know, they seem to be hitching their wagon to some of these kids and doing well. And I guess the biggest thing is getting that consistent goaltending that has eluded this team yep. for years. Suddenly, you know, you put Frederik Andersen in there, and not only is he making the stops, he does all those little things to, you know, to generate a breakout. I think that's part of his game nobody knew about. And we all know that Curtis Joseph and Felix Potvin made their coaches really smart, really fast, and led to some big turnarounds.
Glenn, I think, sorry, Gord, you want to go ahead?
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think one of the things with Freddie Andersen as well is, you know, over the last couple of years, when the Leafs would get beat, they would get beat, you know, really bad, and there would be a lot of stinkers. So when the Leafs are losing, I mean, they were on a 3-game losing streak going into tonight. So let's not just jump off everything right now. They got back in the winning streak. But what Freddie Andersen has proven is that he's not going to let the game get away from them, like they did in the past, where if they got down a goal, he would still, like, Freddie Andersen's been able to keep them in and give them an opportunity. In the past years with the goaltenders, they would get that one, and all of a sudden they would pile on, and there was no chance for Toronto to come back. That's what I see the difference is with Freddie Andersen in that.
Really, and he didn't. You know, there were sort of those hiccups early on, but that was basically coming to a new team, coming to a new defense, coming to a new conference in many ways. I thought, you know, he's as advertised. I mean, he's, you know, big, able to do some, all doing a lot of, you know, a lot of good things for the team, and I think inspiring the defense, and that's still the Achilles heel of his team, as we all know. But, you know, you get confidence in your goaltending like that, and, you know, he's also been one of their best penalty killers in what's been an improved group. So, you know, all that I think is generating some things that have made the team, I guess they're at 500 or whatever, as they hit the quarter pole. All signs that you know, things will look up, but of course things can go south in a hurry. And sure. Again, back to the road trip being a big test for this club.
The Achilles heel of our show is when you're not on, Lance. So thanks. Yeah, so anyway, and again, the book Cup of Coffee as we get set for Christmas time. It's about just I love the concept. Like we said, guys that just had a cup of coffee. Certain was it 100 games or less, or what was the figure you picked?
We settled on 199, I think.
199 games.
So two cups of coffee, but that
a double.
That was a double. Two difficult for the title. title.
Best place to get it, Chapters?
Chapters and Indigo and Amazon. Thanks a lot.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Lance.
Thanks for having me on.
Lance Hornby joining us from the Toronto Sun. He's about the only media guy left tonight, whatever, as far as covering it. So
well, everyone's at the Grey Cup parties right now. That's where Lance is going right now.
He's probably
going
to go and join there right now. So we've got, Todd, a couple of games coming up on the as far as the team next week. Heads out to Western Canada, Vancouver. Yep. And like we chatted with Lance, it's you know, it's not like black and white because, again, Lance was saying the games have been close on the road. New Jersey was a great example. 3-0 lead, but ultimately it's another loss. I mean, they've only won one game on the road, and that's something that's going to have to improve.
And it doesn't get any easier. I mean, the Alberta, you know, it's always tough to go out there. I don't care who's where you are in the standings, but Edmonton and Calgary are always tough places, and when you got to play them back to back, that's a real proving ground, and it will be a proving ground for these young Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, and we're wondering about Vancouver as well. Edmonton, Calgary, the Calgary Flames. We had Chad Johnson on earlier this afternoon. I mean, they've got their act together. They got a hot goaltender, so that's huge if you want to get back on track. And Connor McDavid is Connor McDavid.
Yep. No, he's unbelievable, one of the best in the league right now. And it's going to be fun to watch the young guys. It's going to be like a young North American game again against the Edmonton Oilers. Youth versus youth. It's going to be a lot of fun.
So we'll be on for all those games, of course, Tuesday, Wednesday, then Saturday in Vancouver. Then the Leafs back for most of the games are home before just before Christmas, then they go on the road again. We'll get back to you with all that happened. Tonight, though, Hockey Night in Canada. It was a great Saturday at Air Canada Centre. The building was rocking. Toronto Maple Leafs well played a game. A 4-2 win over the Washington Capitals. You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame, brought to you by your GTA Acura dealers, Gord Stellick, Todd Halusko on the Fan.
You've been listening to Leafs Nation Postgame with Gord Stellick and Todd Halusko, brought to you by your local GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today.